IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You're listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
So, as Al-Hajj 18th, let's get back to, we can say, to the history, back time, the year 10th of Hijrah, of course, after Hijrah. A very important event took place, and that is Prophet Muhammad is on his way back from Hajjatul Wada.
Yeah.
So, in the middle of the way, in a place called Qadir Khum, you know, he stops all the companions, all the travelers, you know, waits for the others to join him to give a very important news. Usually Ayatul Tabligh and Ayatul Ikmal are referred to in reference to, we can say, the Qadir Khum event, which took place in the 10th Hijra year. But the case is the Nu'man ibn Haris complains about selection of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad,
right,
and say, if this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me. And all of a sudden, a stone is thrown on the head and the man is killed. Mm. And all of a sudden, this ayah is revealed, okay?
Right.
So this is according to many commentators and interpreters of the Holy Quran, exegetes, you know, referring to the selection of Imam Ali alayhi salam as the wali, as the successor of Prophet Muhammad. So, now this is the major question. Why still, with all these vivid, clear references and documents, the majority of the population of people and the Muslims do not see such a right, I mean, during the history? Allama Amini wrote a voluminous book, Al-Qadir, and most of the references are taken from our Sunni brethren, okay? Why are you still not seeing that? What's the reason?
If I may jump here, Sheikh.
Okay,
look, before that question,
for both of you, okay?
Before that question, we need to first of all address the question, because now I feel that we jumped a little bit forward.
Okay.
For our audience, they need to have a clear picture. If someone comes forth and asks the questions, why didn't anyone object? You say, you followers of Ahlul Bayt, say that now we are skipping the Quran now, looking at the history and the narrations. So you say that all these companions were there. Why didn't anyone object? We need to clear that question first and then jump to that that issue with
why there was no objection
Muslims not following
to the successorship of Imam Ali.
Yes, why didn't anyone object? If everyone saw it and everyone understood what it meant, why didn't anyone
there
object?
There was an objection. I said Nu'man ibn Haris, but it was answered.
But then we have much more reasons, other reasons. Did Imam Ali object? Did Imam Ali in somewhere, someplace say anything about this during how many years?
25
years. We need to address this, but with your permission.
No problem.
All right.
Go for that.
So number one, following the crowd mentality, majority of us people, human beings, we follow the majority. So when you have influential people in your tribe who followed one path, usually the majority followed their path. It's a traditional way. When they paid allegiance, the whole tribe members follow their leader.
Okay.
That's one reason. I'm making it very short now. Number two, jealousy. This disease that we have in our nafs. Called hasad, jealousy against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Many companions of Rasulullah were jealous.
Yes.
That is a dimension that we need to address. The knowledge, the piety, the swordmanship, the chivalry of Imam Ali was famous among everyone.
Yes.
Number three, Imam Ali himself objected and he was dragged to the mosque. You want narrations about that? Well, didn't Imam Ali in letter number 28 in Nahjul Balagha, the peak of eloquence, say in the middle of that letter, answer to whom? Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan.
Yes.
And everyone, I think, from all denominations know him.
Yes.
Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Didn't Imam Ali say that, and you, let me quote it. I want to quote this one. You also wanted to taunt me. He's answering Muawiyah. You also wanted to taunt me by saying that when I refused to accept the Khilafah of the first caliph, I was dragged like a camel with a rope round my neck.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how that sounds for you guys, but me, being a revert of Islam, and after 7 years at the age of 22, becoming a follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt, this was an explosion. I don't know about you guys, with your background.
Okay.
This might be, you know, you drink a cup, a glass of water on it, like the Persians
say. This is a blast.
But this is an explosion, okay? This is an explosion. You have Nahjul Balagha in all libraries, in all mosques, in all denominations, okay? The same letter that I have seen in
letter
mosque,
28.
Letter number 28, Nahjul Balagha. So, and then he continues, I was, you wanted to taunt me by saying that I was dragged like a camel with a rope round my neck, and every kind of cruelty and humiliation was leveled against me.
That's right.
But you know what? He says to Muawiyah, there is no disgrace for a Muslim if he is subjected to tyranny and suppression.
That's right.
There is no ar. There is no ar on that person.
Okay.
That is being humiliated and subject to suppression, so long as he is firm in his faith and belief in Allah and religion. And then he continues.
Okay.
That part was as an explosion.
That's right.
Okay. Right?
Yes.
Well, what about Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr? Didn't he write a letter? To whom? To Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Now, I want Sheikh to continue.
Okay.
I've talked a lot here.
Yeah.
But there are many, many arguments here.
The person who was nurtured
me.
By Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes, Muhammad exactly. Ali. Exactly.
Yeah.
The son of Abu Bakr that was nurtured by, and lived in the house of Imam Ali. Yes.
That's all right. So why not seeing such a big event in the history of Islam and not believing in that? And does believe in such a concept? I mean, considering Ali ibn Abi Talib as your Wali and as your Mawla has something to do with the completion of your religion, Shaykh. Maybe some of our Thani brethren think that this concept has nothing to do with the completion of your religion and Islam is Islam. Without Wali is Islam because it has so many other parts too. Maybe 5-10% is being Mawla and Wali. 90% are something else.
You know, first of all, we should understand that the position or the status of a prophet and his successor is something that is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's a divine position.
Okay.
Imamah and prophethood, both of them are a divine position.
Okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides about this position, whom should be put in this position. This is the first important point. You know, no one elect a prophet. Same is the case with the successor, because we do not know who should be the leader, who should be the successor of a prophet, because there are certain qualities that is hidden from us, and we do not know. So that's why we believe that this position is a divine position. This is the first point, that no one can gather in a place and elect a successor for a prophet. It had not happened for the rest of the prophets, never in the history. This is the first point.
Right.
The second point is that Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in many occasions himself referred to this Ghadir.
There we go.
Okay.
So first was in the Shura.
Yes.
In Shura, he referred to this Hadith and he objected against Uthman that why you're at the time of Uthman again he referred to this
Shura you're referring to
in
was
battle,
a session
in the battlefield
that was held
of in the battlefield of let me remember in the battlefield of Siffin, he referred to that. In the battlefield of Jamal, he referred. In many cases, Amir al-Mu'min himself referred.
Okay.
So, and also, unfortunately, the last point that I want to mention that why did majority of the people did not accept this?
I mean, but people tried, the Muslims,
try to ignore it.
Yes.
You know why is that?
Yes, yes.
Look, when the first caliph, Abu Bakr, was appointed as a caliph, Abu Sufyan referred to Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and told Amir al-Mu'minin that I can gather thousands of fighters here right now in Medina.
Right.
And I can do whatever you want because you deserve this position, not them.
Could you repeat who said that?
Abu Sufyan. Father of Muawiyah.
Yes.
Abu Sufyan.
Then father of Muawiyah.
Father of Muawiyah, yes. Amir al-Mu'minin asked about his mentality, that why do you want to do this? And Abu Sufyan said that because according to the tribal values that we have,
yes,
you deserve this position because you belong to Bani Hashim. Amir al-Mu'minin said, no, this intention that you have is not a true intention.
Mm-hmm.
If by this intention you support me, so tomorrow you can do whatever you want with Islam, as they did in the history of Islam.
He was the head of one of the greatest tribes in that time, Abu Sufyan, you know. Maybe they
had a lot of contacts.
Yes.
And unfortunately, since Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam killed many of the heroes of the Arabs. So then they were really jealous of Amir al-Mu'minin.
Okay.
They were like enemies of Amir al-Mu'minin.
Yes.
Because of this, they were also a little bit, we can say they're
looking for a chance in order
to ignore Amir al-Mu'minin Ali
to take revenge.
This is one of the cases, that could be mentioned.
That's all right.
Could I mention and add a little bit more on what the Sheikh said? Imam Ali said, stand up when he was the Khalifa.
Yes.
Now I want to jump to his Khilafa. Yes. Sheikh mentioned the incidents before the Khilafa.
Yes.
Very good. Now at the time of his Khilafa, at the peak of his power, stand up if you have been present in Ghadir. Didn't Imam Ali say that on the pulpit?
Oh.
Anas ibn Malik, according to history, had something called in Arabic al-baras, leprosy,
which was
evident in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Some people mentioned that Ali, radiyallahu anhu, I'm quoting here, asked him regarding the saying of the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, not Ali, O Allah, lead the one who accepts his leadership and be the enemy of the one who towards him has animosity.
Yes.
He, Anas said, I have grown old in age. So Imam is asking him in the crowd, why don't you stand up? You were there in Al-Ghadir. Why don't you stand up? Imam Ali is in the minbar. He's the Khalifa. Anas says, look, I have grown old in age and I have forgotten.
Yes.
Anas ibn Malik was 10 years at the house of the Prophet. So Imam Ali said to him, if you are lying,
yes,
then may Allah strike you with whiteness that shall not be hidden by a turban. That whiteness is what the
leprosy.
Arabs called al-baras, which is leprosy.
That's why I'm
and the, and the, narra- the historical narration said that it happened.
It happened. That's all right. Okay. And so many other incidents referring
to... Yes. Ashiq Shiqiyah is another one.
Yes,
khutbah number two.
Yes,
very important one.
Yes. So many clear, and as I said, vivid documents, crystal clear documents referring to Ghadir Khum event which took place on Zilhajjah 18th. And I think that this one is a really celebration for the Muslim lands because upon a divine selection,
right,
the true successor of Prophet Muhammad is going, is going to be selected and lead the community and the ummah. And this is a good news, I think, for the people and the Muslims.
I apologize. How many minutes do we have? Can I finish it with two more? We're done with the
there
time.
There are still so many documents, you know. The document.
We need to clarify the major ones.
Maybe
in another
time.
Program.
Yeah,
all right.
Sorry. We are, that's right, for this episode. Still so many things to say. But if interested, dear listeners, they can refer to Al-Ghadir by Allama Amini, Abaqat al-Anwar fi Imamat Aimat al-Adhar by Mir Hamid Hussein. This is another book. Another important book, which is really important, Al-Ghadir wal-Mu'arizun, Sayyid Jafar Murtaza al-Amili, the outstanding Lebanese scholar. These three
can
books,
I add a...
Because
these books are a little bit heavy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, okay.
Can I say Dr. Tijani?
Okay.
I mean, these books are very heavy. I mean, Al-Ghadir with, I mean, those volumes and
because
all of that. And Allama Ja'fari.
Yeah.
I mean, these are very heavy books. But for those others who want to read a more easier book, straightforward, Dr. Tijani and Al-Muraja'at are very good.
Milan,
that's
are
right.
really short and very precise and concise.
That's
context.
Right. That's right. Okay. It was very nice of you, Sayyid Alawi and Sheikh
Thank you
for your presence in the program. Viewpoints talking about Ghadir al-Khum events, and I would like again to express my congratulations and this happy aid to all the Muslims around the world. Whether Ali ibn Abi Talib is your imam or not, he is the source of light and benefit for all the Muslims. Believe me, brothers and sisters, and Muslims all across the world. Thank you very much for listening to us, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information on this program and to download for free our other episodes, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.